to build your faith? Do you desire to have a true encounter with God through His Word? Then listen to Logos Rhema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobin, Head Pastor of Harvest Chapel International, Kumasi. He is a seasoned man of God and a teacher of the Word in its truth and simplicity. Make time with us each and every Monday to Friday at 2 p.m. on Spirit 88.3 FM as we encounter the Word of Truth. God richly bless you. Welcome to Logos Rhema Hour with God's servant, Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobin, Head Pastor of Harvest Chapel International, Kumasi. And now, to today's message.
Let's take our confession, Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but I shall meditate in it day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then I will make my way prosperous, and then I will have good success. Amen.
And then you open with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 11. Let's read through 1 to 13 and then pick up a few lessons. This is what we've been using for our prayer startup. And then we say 6 P's and we just want to just go over it, you know, so that anytime that you connect to the Radio ACI today and then during the prayer time and hour, you can connect with what we are doing and what the prayer coordinators or leaders will be guiding us through so that we can build that effective prayer life that is necessary, that we talk about the fellowship or fellowship with prayer. And we have said it last Wednesday, we made the point that it goes each way. If you join the corporate body and pray alongside of us, you are going to learn how to pray and to be effective in your prayer. And then the same thing, if you are able to develop a robust and, if you like, effective prayer life in your chamber, in your privacy, there is no way that you're not going to leverage those skills and those graces upon your life for the greater benefit of the body of Jesus Christ. There's no room in the Bible for selfishness in anything, either by time, talent, or treasures. It doesn't work. God saves us, commissions us, equips us, so that the larger, if you like, world population can benefit from the salvation that He has saved us. And that's what we mentioned last week. There's a vision in the house, not just this house. I mean a global mission for the Church of Jesus Christ. And there's a mission. God is about doing something. He's has embarked on a redemption exercise to save all humankind, as many as are willing to be saved. God will save them. That's why the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you are not born again, it's because you don't want to be born again. And God will never force you and born you again against your will. Hallelujah. You have to make a voluntary surrender of your life. Amen. So when we gather in church like this, it is, if you like, I have, I mean, you know, we've at the conviction or prodding by God that as much as possible at any time, we want to explain the process very well. Because that's where the problem lies. A lot of us have not understood it very well, where God is coming from. And we keep on making the point that you are not here on your own. You are a creature by a creator. And anytime that we go to Genesis chapter 1, it's one of the pictures that the Lord tries to paint to us that, look, understand it. You are a creature. Amen. And that you are responsible to submit or to do or perform the function that your creator or our creator designed for us. Hallelujah. Amen. So God didn't just create us to come and loiter around in the world. And like he said, Jesus challenged the people. He said, of what profit shall it be to a man if indeed he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? And Jesus challenged the people in his day. He said, when he was challenging them, do not be afraid and scared of the people who can, you know, do harm to you, but they cannot. They don't have the permission to touch the soul. They can do bodily harm, they can inflict bodily harm, but they don't have permission to touch your soul. Because he says that all souls are mine. All souls are mine as the creator. And that at the end of this heaven and earth project or exercise, he says he's going to bring us all up to a bar of accountability and judgment, demand from us how we lived our life. That is the gospel message. Oh, when we die, then we are dead. No. So that one was also one of the key things for Jesus' coming, to correct the misconception, to correct the lie out there that when you die, you enter into oblivion and nothing. No. Then justice would not have been served. Amen. Yes, we pray for equity, fairness, justice, and all that. But God says that ultimate justice belongs to him. So he says that vengeance is mine, I will repay. So that even this life, you find out that maybe somebody, the wicked, they have lived their life recklessly. They have done all kinds of things and all that. And he says, no, leave it to me. You are not getting it. I'm in charge. And I'm seeing all that is going on. And I know what I'm doing. And in the end, in this life, if they seem to have gotten away, he says, I'll drag everybody before my bar of judgment or accountability and make a demand. And that is when real justice will be served to all humankind. That is the story of the Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. And so that once we are talking about prayer, like I said the other day, if we call for a prayer meeting, a prayer convocation, you have a lot of people coming for the prayer convocation than if you said there's going to be a 1 week word convocation. So assembly day at No. You see, but we are not getting the results. That's the frustration. And by the above you, hey, that's my helicopter would have been here if I had the power. But God is the one who sits at the tail end of our prayers and intercessions and our cries, and he's shaking his head. And you are getting the foundations wrong. You are getting the ABCs wrong. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not your show. It is my show. That's why we pray for all kinds of things and it never materialized. But whenever it materializes, then you know that it is connected to the assignment. And the assignment that God has given you and I, he has told us. The Bible tells us all the challenges, the limitations, and the risk involved, and then the rewards. And then the rewards. So God has not just called us to come and serve him like we are doing a 3x7 that by whatever has been extended to 3x9, and we are confused whether we come and the pastor will say, I'm trying to see where the extra 2 weeks I'll put it. Before you go around telling people, see, well, you say, Pastor, 3x9. Oh. Hallelujah. There are some churches at the beginning of the year, they went on a 100-day fast. Yes. Yeah. So sometimes when we look at our own, it's small. 3 weeks. 100-day fast. Hallelujah. Amen. Because I have said it, I like the one that you spread it across the year. Hallelujah. So we can build capacity over the years. And we have been building capacity over the years. Hallelujah. So it's very, very important that we connect with the truths of God's word. For those of us who have been looking for deliverance, it's not just the prayer. It's not just the prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. That's how come I got my deliverance. When I was looking for deliverance and I was pastor chasing and prophet chasing all over the place and ending up from going from frying pan to fire here and there, applying Jerusalem pomades and drinking concoctions, you know, and bathing Psalms at 12 midnight and all that. And nothing was happening. And you got in, getting frustrated. So I started reading. I started reading books on deliverance. I was desperate to come out of the hole until I saw a book. I don't know whether somebody recommended, but I saw a book, you know, and in Challenge Bookshop on deliverance and how to maintain it. And I have never forgotten that book. Why? He said that it's not about power, because the power issue has been settled. It's about truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So I started applying the truth. I've not seen Satan before. The day I'll see Satan, maybe God, when we get to heaven, will bind Satan on a chain and say, Obi amongo bono. Obi a unene wa asema wa asasi so that, say, this is the time for you. One blow. Hallelujah. I'm sure we all have a blow for him. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But he said, no, the power issue was settled on Calvary 2,000 years ago. What is now the people of God need is to appropriate the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Immediately you begin applying the truth of the word. Just from nowhere, you don't conjure it. Oh. Like I said, we don't know where Satan was. Even the Holy Spirit, we don't know. We don't even, have you seen an angel of God before? We talked about the ones with the six wings, you know, one, two up here, two covering their feet. With four, the four faces, one is like an eagle, one is like a lion, and then what? A horse, and then one is a human something. Ox. Can you see? Even if you see it in your dream, much more up here. The people who met there, sometimes they were all the prophets, look, they were all paralyzed. They couldn't rise up until the angel would come out and say, sorry, we've not finished the revelation. Take more. Hallelujah. And then they all say they were left without. They're intentional to tell us that, look, God is awesome and fearsome, so that the truth that they are giving us will embrace them and leave them out. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So the truths, and then the truth. So now you read the truths, and then maybe you come to Genesis chapter 32, and Jacob was fleeing from his uncle Laban because God commanded him that it is now time to leave. It is now time for the promise or the covenant blessings that he spoke to your granddad Abraham should be activated. So leave your uncle's house and come to that place where you encountered me in Bethel. And you promised that you will come here. And this will be the house of God. That's why I named Bethel the house of God. After God gave him a personalized revelation that he is not a dead God, but a God that is alive and active in the life of his covenant people. And his uncle Laban was chasing him because God had blessed the young man so much, and he was an old man now, and he had blessed him so much. He said, this boy came here with his staff, nothing. Now look at him. He has 10 children, 4 wives, and cattle plenty. And then the Bible says that he was so angry, he said, I'll cheat this. But before then, he had cheated him 10 times. So he had cheated him 10 times. He tells him, give me your wages. He says it. Then he will say, no, And then God says, it's time to leave. And he left. He gave him chase, but he says that just before the night before he met Jacob in the morning, he says, he himself said, Laban says, God appeared to him in a dream and said, be careful. He said, be careful. Even what you say to that young boy, be careful. Then make sure you don't touch him, else you'll be a dead man. So when he came, he said, you are a lucky guy. When I was chasing you, I was coming to take your wives and all the blessings that you have, because you took them from my house, you got them from my house. He said, but that night, last night, God appeared to me. The fear, and he mentioned, he said, the fear of Isaac, and warned me about you. I can't touch you, and I'm afraid of you. So he said, let's do a covenant that you won't come to me, and then I won't also come to you. And the Bible says that when he left that meeting and entered the promised land, Mahanaim, angels met him. The angels of God. God had dispatched angels to meet and welcome Jacob. Why wouldn't he do that for you? If you apply the truth, you will know that angels are on guard in your life. Every time I tell you the nightmares, the strange visitations, they dare not come. They dare not come now. Why? Because God will warn them. Don't touch him. Away. So before you realize, the deliverance has come. Simply because you are honoring God with your time, your talents, and your treasures. Or quoting God, you are in God's good books. God has redeemed us to serve him. But we can't serve him with carnal tools. They don't work. Insult for insult, it doesn't work. Blow for blow, it will not work. Hallelujah. Grace for insults, it will work. Modeling godliness, it will work. Putting our trust in God, it will work. So that's where the Bible comes in. The truths that have been spelled, that they have been, you know, spelled there over and over for you and I to be encouraged that God is alive. And he's working on our behalf, even if you don't see him. Like I said, I've not seen angels before, but I believe they are working on my behalf. Maybe one day you open your eyes and you see some like Jacob. But Jacob entered there and says, there were angels of God that welcomed him into the land. He was about also to meet his brother, his twin brother Esau, and he was scared. He was scared to death because he had cheated him once upon a time, and he knew that he would have to face him. Indeed, when he sent forth greetings to him that he has come, your twin brother has come and he's saying hello, and you are coming to meet him. And when the messengers came, they say he's coming, but he's coming with 400 armed soldiers to come and say hello. Immediately he panicked and knew that trouble was ahead. What did he do? Oh my God. That was when he went up to the book of Jabbok and prayed that life destiny changing prayer. No, your destiny, your life must change. But it won't change if you don't have the encounters with God and you know that God is alive and he's a prayer answering God, and you are able on your own, not with pastor, not with anybody, or not with any prophet. No, but you have read the word and you have come to understand that God's ears are attentive to the prayer of the righteous. You don't like your life, you can change it. The power is in you, but you connect the changer of the world, or the one who owns the universe. He has only the right to bring that change, that desired change in your life. But how hungry are you for it? How desperate are you for it? Jacob was hungry. Jacob was desperate. So the Bible says that he didn't call a prayer meeting. No. He had a lot of slaves. He had 10 boys. No, 11. Yes, 11 boys. Two concubines, two wives. He could have called a prayer meeting and said, can you stand with me? I hear my twin brother is coming to say hello with 400 soldiers, armed soldiers. No. He realized that, look, destiny changing moments, you need to be alone with God. So the Bible says that he put them aside and then he crossed the Jabbok River saying, Yabu Shira, Yabawa Sinya Nase. Jacob wrestled with an angel of God for that life-changing or destiny-changing encounter. I said, he didn't call a prayer meeting. And for some of us, that is where we need to come to. Look, he said, Pastor is praying for you. You see the problems that I have. Sometimes I forget you. So don't count that Pastor will pray for me. Not even the one who will take you an offering and bring take some tokens and say, I'll do this for you. I was told about a prophet who came and then said that they had received directions. And he said that God says all of them, they are going through a fast. So he proclaimed the fast. And when he finished, he asked them that they should come and serve him food. The day of the fast, he asked them they should come and serve him food in the hall. He said, no, the fast is not for him. You are fasting and think that the prophet or the pastor is fasting for you. He was eating. And then he said, you do the fast. You see why? He said, it's not the problem, it's your problem. It's not my problem. So you two, you hear that, oh, the prophet who declared the fast, he is eating. You two, you go and eat. He doesn't care. Hallelujah. Now, the point is this. Look, no one cares so much for the problems that you are going as you yourself. And if you not rise up and take frontline position, on judgment day, God will not call me to come and stand by us. No. Even when I come once, I want to say, she used to be, come to my church. He said, it's not your matter. You alone. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So Jacob recognized that, no, this was a matter of life and death. And the Bible says all night he prayed. Where did he get the energy from? But the Bible says it was like a wrestling match and he wrestled with the angel of God or the spirit of God. I said. And finally, somewhere along the wrestling match, it dawned on him that this was not an ordinary visitation. This was God that had come. This was the destiny changing, defining moment. You come to that place in your life where you realize that, hey, look, I got to sit up. I have to sit. You have the resources to help yourself. Okay. But some of us, we came to the place where we knew that, look, you are sleeping and then the bed is shaking and you sleep. So when I tell you my sleeping place was Padio, you cannot understand. God, where are you? Sometimes that's all I used to pray. But where are you? So the Bible says that when we come to the place of, we don't even know how to. You don't even know how to articulate the prayers and the needs. But God, the Holy Spirit. So that's where you're born again is critical. It says the Holy Spirit, which is the seal of God in us, which earmarks us, marks us out as children of God. That is where he comes in. So when Jesus was, I've not forgotten our text there. When Jesus, what was in Luke chapter 11 that we are looking at, when Jesus, when the angels, let's look at verse 1. He said, now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Because they had looked at his life and said, the secret to his life was all prayer. That's why we keep on saying that Jesus had a robust prayer life. And you must develop the prayer life. But you are not going to be able to do it and lay the foundations and be able to build on those foundations of prayer if the root, the foundation is wrong. He said, no other foundation can any man lay except that which be laid, which is Christ Jesus our Lord, as the master of our lives. So after he had, now look at verse 2, he says, so he said to them, you want to pray like I pray? You want to connect with God? You want to connect with the supernatural? Rebel shaking the power. There's some foundational truths that you know. You address God as our Father in heaven. How do you address God as a Father in heaven when you are not born again? When he's not your dad? You can claim God as your dad, but hey, he knows you are not his child. Amen. Hallelujah. So if he doesn't recognize the relationship, then you are in big trouble. Yes, God is creator, but we know what has happened. Truly speaking, in a certain sense, God is the father or the dad of all humankind. But the story of the Bible is that something has gone wrong somewhere along the way. That is why the universe or the world that he created is not functioning according to design. And these are the remedies that God has put in place, that all men that have strayed away, we should come back and reconnect, be reconciled to him. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So that we can be restored in fellowship with him. So that the things that he wants us to do, we can be enabled, because we are not warring against flesh and blood. See, when I tell my story, because I was as naive as any of us, I was going to Assemblies of God. We all thought it to a church is about activity, activity, activity. You say your prayers and then you do the sign of the cross. You think a sign of the cross will save you. Hallelujah. Amen. And the prayers that you are praying, every time you are in a hurry, God, accept this prayer or forget it. I've prayed. Hallelujah. Amen. I pray for the opportunity for every one of us to have that encounter with God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's all the born again thing is all about saying, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's all. I'm sorry. That's why for those of us in church, it's such a wonderful privilege to be called children of God. That's the love of God, that he has made it possible for us to call God as our dad. Because that's the key. You see, when you pray, don't forget that God is your dad. So you come to the place of prayer and say, our Father who art in heaven. Now you won't be able to say that with any conviction if you are not born again. And like we like saying, being born again is not saying reciting the sinner's prayer. It goes much deeper. You must vacate the throne of your life. And as we like saying, it's such a tumultuous event, you will never forget it. You will never forget it.
This broadcast was proudly sponsored by the friends and partners of Harvest Chapel International Kumasi. Thank you for listening to Logos Rhema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobi. We believe that as you act on this word, God's power will transform your life.